this episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4014. And we're going to talk about being knocked out, dragged out, jerked through a knothole backwards, all kinds of metaphors. A health update, and we'll revisit episode 4013 on how to move forward with the power of stillness and silence. I didn't quite pull that off, but I tried. So welcome to episode 4014, LeaningTowardWisdom.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. North Central Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, to be specific. Your host here at LeaningTowardWisdom.com, working really hard. Trying to lean harder, put my shoulder into it. In fact, I probably put my shoulder too much into it. So much so that I injured myself and didn't even know it. It's been a long 2 weeks. Okay, here's the story. We'll just dive right in. First of all, thanks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a subscriber. Thanks for clicking play. You can find all the accompanying show notes over at the website at leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just find episode 4014. We'll pot down the music here and just and dive right in. It was the last Tuesday of February. What was that? February, 26th? Was that a Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't know. It all just became a blur. I get a phone call at about 9:30, and I pick up the phone and hold the phone to my ear. And about 5 minutes in, I'm thinking, I really should put my headset on. This was a phone that came in here to the studio. It was not a cell phone, but I do have a headset. I could have even used the phone hybrid and just talked through my mic and put my headset on or my headphones, but I do have a telephone headset, and I kept thinking I really should do this because, I don't know, just holding a phone to your head can be annoying, especially for somebody like me who likes to pace and walk around, but I didn't. So I'm on this phone for about 30 minutes, and I get off the phone, and I've already showered, and, you know, it's late in the evening, and my wife and I are sitting there, and we're just kind of relaxing and watching a little bit of TV, and my shoulder's just starting to kind of ache. Starts out as a dull ache. By midnight, I'm writhing in pain. And when I say writhing in pain, I don't know if you've ever had gallstones. The doctor suspected that I did. This was 10 or 15 years ago. I had an episode. I just got sick as a mule in a flash. Really pain. Kind of, I wouldn't say in the pit of your stomach, but it like the bottom of your chest bone, the top part of your stomach. I just had this kind of a sharp pain. Started sweating profusely. And anyway, Rhonda took me to the emergency room, and I was doing what they call the kidney stone shuffle. Excuse me. Couldn't keep my legs still. And, I remember the nurse asking me as I went into the emergency room, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you describe the pain? And I described it as, I don't know, a 3. And she looked at Ron and she said, look at him. He is literally writhing in pain. 3? And I said, I don't know. It hurts. But, okay, well, this time at midnight, now it's about midnight. It's been 2.5 hours or so since the phone call began. And that's all I did. I didn't fall. I didn't injure myself. I had done nothing that would warrant this pain. And, it was excruciating. I mean, I told Rhonda, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is off the charts, could not be still. I thought my shoulder was out of joint. I mean, that's what it felt like. So I'm up all night. I could not get comfortable. She's trying to get me to go to the emergency room. I'm like, I don't know. I need to pop it back in. So I get in here on the computer and I Google, a shoulder being out of joint. And there were like 4 or 5 ways to pop your shoulder back in. And I'm on the floor and I've got my knees crouched in front of me. So I've got my knees tucked under my chin. And I can barely move my right shoulder. I'm right-handed. And I painfully interlock my fingers, join my fingers together, and I'm doing everything I can. Well, the problem was that my shoulder wasn't out of joint. But, man, it felt like it. So at 5 o'clock Wednesday morning, being up all night, writhing in pain, I cry uncle. Well, I cried more than uncle, but I cried uncle and let her take me to the emergency room. So we go in and, they start trying to, you know, get me comfortable. And the nurse, you know, made some comment, you know, what do you want me to, pop it, go ahead and pop it back in now. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And of course she was, I guess, joking. Well, I was not in any joking mood. Pain can just make you stupid. I mean, it can make you certainly less coherent than you might normally be. In fact, it can make you incoherent. And I don't claim that I was the epitome of wisdom on this occasion. But they began to do tests, and they did x-rays, and they did CAT scans. They did chest x-rays and stuff. Well, it comes to find out later, they're treating this as though there could be some cardiac event. They're just trying to rule out. They just want to make sure I'm not in any life-threatening situation. So I'm not faulting them, but everything that they did an EKG. They were doing all these things because evidently the x-ray, you know, the x-ray showed that I had some arthritis in this right shoulder. And when I was about 23, 24, on a winter Saturday, I was out playing football with a bunch of buddies. And as was our habit, it's like full contact, no pads, of course. And it's late in the game, and it's nearly over, and some stranger came and joined the fray and tackled me, drove my shoulder into the ground, which was frozen, by the way. So we were all very intelligent. Rhonda and I were married. In fact, we were expecting our first child. We'd been married 2 or 3 years, and, I went to the emergency room on that occasion. Couldn't drive. I had a stick shift. Well, I drove, but I shifted with my left hand. Rhonda met me at the hospital, as I recall, and, separated the shoulder. Now that was a long time ago. I mean, I was 23. I've had no issues with this shoulder since. I mean, none. I mean, that change of weather, all the typical stuff that would cause some joint pain. No, nothing. And so I'm sitting here thinking, excuse me. Well, that's a whole nother issue, by the way, this cough. So I'm not even bothering with the cough button. I mean, I'd be hitting that cough button all the time. So that's the only episode that I've ever had with that shoulder. And it just seemed odd to me. It just seemed very, very weird that out of the blue, talking on the phone, holding a phone up to my ear for 30 minutes would create such a horrific arthritis-driven event, the first ever, by the way, and it would put me in the hospital. Well, take me to the emergency room. So I'm there and they're giving me pain meds and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I mean, and I'm so resilient to pain medication. Hydrocodone, I could eat hydrocodone like M&Ms and absolutely no effect. And so they gave me morphine, nothing, didn't even, I mean, didn't even take an edge off of it. They finally gave me a shot of something, and that lasted for a couple of hours. They had to give me another shot at some point. So we were in the emergency room for a good 5 hours plus, and they just recommended that I go see an orthopedic because they couldn't find anything. So made an appointment. That was on a Wednesday. So I go home, I get in bed, and I'm just, you know, and I've got pain medication. They gave me some pain medication that did work and some muscle relaxers. So I at least was able to stay comfortable, but I was just a veg for that day and then all the next day, Thursday. So then Friday, I go to an orthopedic specialist, a guy that specializes in shoulders, and they do an MRI, and I'm miserable. I'm writhing in pain still. And it's obvious to him that there's something going on here. But he looks at the x-rays and whatnot, sends me for an MRI, by the way, which was out of his office. Didn't have the results of the MRI, but he said, man, I see some arthritis, but I can't explain your level of pain. I wish I could. And I said, well, it's okay. I mean, I'm cool that you may not understand, but I said, I just want to get better. He was worried about infection, that if there was infection in that shoulder, then that could require some immediate surgery. And he wanted to rule that out. Well, blood work was done, and the blood counts were they were not normal. There was some sign of infection, but like he said, it's whatever the metrics are, whatever the numbers are, it doesn't really specify where the infection is. He ruled out infection in the shoulder. Now by now I've developed this horrid cough. Right. So I've got a bad cold now on top of it. So now I've got a shoulder that's killing me, and I'm coughing every 30 seconds. And I mean, coughing so hard that eventually your abs just ache. Yeah, you've been there, done that. Now try that when your shoulder's just, it's absolutely killing you. No appetite. I mean, eventually I even lost an appetite for anything to drink. And I'm a water hound. I mean, I drink a lot of ounces of water every day. And nothing sounded good. So I dropped a little bit of weight. Well, I probably dropped quite a bit of weight. The good news is I had the weight to lose, so that wasn't all bad. And I go back to see him then on Tuesday. So that Friday after I saw him, I went and had the MRI done. That was a fun date. And those things aren't annoying enough. Have you ever had an MRI? I mean, these things are, they're incredibly loud and they put headphones on you, like that matters, and real low fidelity music. And you're trying to be really still and you're in a cramped, and I'm pretty broad shouldered, and you're in this cramped tube anyway, and they've got your shoulder jacked. And you've got to hold still. And that includes, you know, you got to kind of regulate your breathing and just chill really hard when you're hurting, especially when you're hurting and on a scale of 1 to 10, the pain is 12. So I finally endured that though. And the MRI showed nothing, much to the chagrin, I think, of the shoulder specialist, orthopedic guy. And so now he's like, you need to go see a doctor and let's make sure, you know, this cough and this other stuff, you know, you probably got a number of things going on here, but I just don't see anything. I can't explain. I don't argue with the level of pain that you're in. It's clear you're suffering. I just can't explain it. So he gives me a steroid, I don't know what it was. It was a week, 10 day thing of steroids. Actually, it was a, it would have been a week. So put me on the steroid regimen, oral steroids. And that was on a Tuesday. Well, now by the within a couple of days, man, I'm at least feeling like a human again. Now, I've still got no appetite. I can't do anything but lay in bed, but at least I can kind of rest comfortably. And so it's clear that the steroids are working. I mean, whatever inflammation and all that, it's settling all that down. And so I go back to see him again on the appointed time. And by now we're pushing 2 weeks in now. And I mean, I have been worthless. I haven't come in the yellow studio. I haven't checked email. I haven't returned phone calls. I haven't answered phone calls. I haven't returned phone calls. I haven't answered or returned text messages. So that episode 4013, stillness and silence. Well, okay, I'm not very still, but when it comes to being distracted and chasing, you know, all the social media and consuming all the blogs and yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, that took care of itself, you know, because part of my plan, if you go back and look at the show notes on episode 4013 at leaningtowardwisdom.com, point number one of my 7-step plan was that I was going to steer clear of social media for the next 7 days. Well, that was a no-brainer. That was easy to do. I not only steered clear of social media for the next 7 days, or actually the next 14-plus days, I steered clear of phones and people and text and everything else. Number two, I was going to create content and stay on schedule with things both here and at my home base over at Bula Network, BULANetwork.com. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, the schedule was, there is no schedule. I'm off schedule. Number three was I was going to begin writing some long form content. Well, okay, I'm down to one arm and it's my dominant arm that's hurt. So, well, that didn't happen. I'm going to go visit the gym twice a day for the next week, excluding Sundays. Well, I couldn't get out of the house. You kidding? I couldn't close my car door. I couldn't fasten my own seatbelt to go to visit the doctor. I mean, so that didn't happen. Number five was I'm going to play more and stop spectating so much. And by play, I mean work. Man, I was going to be doing more stuff and not consuming stuff. Okay, well, I did half of that. I wasn't consuming anything, and I wasn't producing anything. I mean, I was just working on trying to produce sleep. So number six was I'm going to get more sleep. Well, I eventually did pull that off because I just, you know, I was popping pain pills and muscle relaxers and I that sounds like I was really into the drugs, and I wasn't, because again, the drugs just don't have, they typically, pain relievers don't work. And I'm not talking over the counter. I'm talking hardcore heavy. Well, hydrocodone, come on. I mean, hydrocodone will knock the edge off of almost everybody's pain. And I could take half a bottle of them and I couldn't tell you that I've taken anything. So, but I did at least take this at night. I would take one. I could have taken two. I'd take one pain pill and one muscle relaxer, and I could take up to two pain pills every 4 hours. And I was only taking one at night. And just trying to sleep 8 hours. So I did pretty good managing the pain meds and not getting too aggressive with those. So I did pull off number six, I guess, a little bit. I'm going to get more sleep. But I didn't have energy to do anything else. All I could do is lay in bed. And I'm talking laying in bed 23 hours a day, literally. And the rest of it, you know, maybe getting up and ambling to the kitchen just because I was going crazy. I couldn't and didn't watch TV. Obviously, I couldn't read. I had no focus. Nothing. I consumed nothing. No entertainment. No nothing. Number seven. I'm going to pray a lot more. Well, I did that. Lose your health if you're a faith based person, if you're a Christian, and yeah, that'll drive you to your knees. Which is how I started. I mean, I started out writhing in pain on my knees, well, on my butt or on my back, and so the power to move forward with, you know, stillness and silence. There was silence. I'll give you that. I've got this noisemaker. I've got this air filter that kind of maintains this constant noise. So I had that going to eliminate any outside racket or distractions. But, you know, no TV, no radio, no. I mean, I just didn't feel like doing anything at all. So then I finally, the cough is just getting worse and worse and worse. And I mean, and it's deep and it's phlegmy and it's nasty and it's killing me. It's killing me. So I go to the doctor and he gives me antibiotics. And, so I've been on antibiotics now for, let's see. I've been on antibiotics for about 4 days now. And, it's a 12-day regimen of antibiotics. So I got that going for me. And he gave me some other stuff to kind of break up the congestion, but really tight chest and all that. So it's just been a variety of things going on. I left out the most fun filled part. Short of the ER visit. So the orthopedic says that it's clear the steroids are working. So I'm going to give you an injection. I'm going to inject that joint with steroids. Well, I knew what that meant because I've had some of those. I've had some of those in my elbows and other things through the years. And so now I've got a very small area in the front and on top of my shoulder that sort of the touch. I mean, this guy just barely kind of munch on this top part of the shoulder and hurt. I mean, I flinched. And he said, it's not going to be fun. And I said, I know, I've had them. He said, well, I mean, it's you can't hardly let me touch that. I said, I know what you're saying. Let's just do it. So it was x-ray guided. And my wife said, man, be glad you didn't see the needle. It was a whopper of a needle that he stuck in there. And so straight down into my shoulder and just nearly killed me for about 30 seconds. And I really thought I'd get relief from that because I've had these kind of shots before. And like I said, my elbows, and I've had relief fairly quickly. It's really painful at first. And your arm, because it was in my elbow, my arm would just ache for a day. But boy, then the next day you just felt almost good as new. And that was really kind of my expectation. Well, it didn't happen. Now, I've already been on the oral steroids, and so I've had some relief, but this thing's really still hurting. And I'm not writhing in pain. I'm able to manage it. But it took, man, it took 4 days or more for the shot to really, for me to tell that, okay, now I've got some range of motion back, and it's starting to respond. So the last visit with the orthopedic guy, he wants me to go see my regular physician and get this cold checked out, and let's make sure there's no other health issues, which I did. But he said, you know, let's give this thing about 3 more weeks. If you're still, you know, if this thing's not back to normal in 3 weeks, which let me know the time frame, at least, he said, make another appointment. So my hope is in the next 2.5 weeks, I'll be reasonably pain free. So there you go. That's been how I've spent my It's been how I've spent my couple of weeks. So I hope you've had a spring break. I know lots of people around here. This past week was spring break week. So a lot of people, kids were out of school. A lot of people took trips, and so did we, just doctor's offices. And by the way, it's great. It's great, too, when you're kind of self-employed as we are and you've got health insurance, but you have this crazy high deductible because it's just Rhonda and I. And here we are. We're stuck between, right? I mean, we're too young I'm brain dead. We're too young for Medicare, and we're old enough that thankfully we don't have kids at home, so we don't have to worry about kids and all that stuff, but it's just the two of us. But the premiums are still somewhat expensive, and you just get a high deductible because at this point in our lives, it's mainly to fend off financial catastrophe. Because as you well know, a hospital stay can just run up thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. So we've got a really high deductible that's thousands and thousands of dollars. And so it's like, okay, well, great. Great. Here we are. It's mid-March and met our deductible already. It blew through quite a few thousands of dollars in no time flat. So that was fun. It's just, it's never out and it's never over. So I don't know. Here's the lessons for me. You know, people who have lost health, you know, people who've suffered injury, you know, people who, and maybe you are one of those. I mean, maybe it's your personal experience of these kinds of things. And you know how overwhelming it can be because nothing else matters. And it's not a matter of instantaneous priority changing based on you've made this conscious decision. It's just the elephant in the room that you can't avoid. I mean, come on, when it's midnight on a Tuesday night and you're writhing in pain, you're not thinking about any business ideas. You're not thinking about any money issues. You're not thinking about any trips. You're not thinking about anything because you can't think about anything. It's not a matter of, well, I'm finally going to get my priorities straight and I'm going to consider my health. I go to the gym every day. I'm fairly cognizant of health issues, and I've gone on record of really trying to pay attention to that, especially over the last 10 plus years or so. So this was out of the blue for me, but it did make me more aware of people who suffer, especially people who suffer some chronic issues, and Lord knows there's lots of you out there, and I'm thankful that I'm not a person who has survived or suffered chronic issues, so I've been very fortunate in that regard. But there are people who are, and it's like, how do you manage? And you just do. I assume. I've just learned over the last 2+ weeks, about 2.5 now, you just have to go through, you just have to fight through what you got to fight through. I felt badly for Rhonda at some point because I was a basket case, you know, a zombie and a basket case all at the same time. And I remember laying in bed and I only lost it once. She leaned down and hugged me, and I was under the blankets and just flat on my back and just lost it. Just kind of started sobbing and told her I was sorry. And when you're married and it's this, we vow to take care of one another, in sickness and in health, come on, you're thinking health. And you're thinking sickness, you're thinking, okay, you know, a bout of the flu or a cold here or there. You're not thinking something that's going to be prolonged. And I sat there thinking after about 10 days, man, what a long 10 days this has been. But I just couldn't help but think of all the people that I know and that I have known who fought through issues for not weeks, but months, and in some cases years. And I thought, Lord willing, there's light at the end of the tunnel for me in this. And I know that there are countless others of you out there, and there might not be light at the end of the tunnel. And if there is, you it's so dim, you really struggle to see it. And I don't have any hard, fast answers. I know that life is not fair, and I know that the health card that we are dealt is often not our own doing. And I know that we live in a society that places great emphasis on so many health issues that are driven by vanity, weight loss and appearance and all that. And I remember seeing a commercial the other day, and there was a commercial against smoking, and there was a 54-year-old person who had died, and he had never smoked in his life, but he had been subjected to secondhand smoke most all of his life, and it killed him, secondhand smoke. And, you know, so these things happen. These bad situations happen, and your heart goes out to people. And then I think of us, and I think of those of us that respond to people who suffer ill health. And it's the natural question that everyone asks. So when you see someone and you know that they've got some ailment, how you doing? We want to show some level of concern and care, and as well-meaning as it is, it's just, you think, they just can't have a conversation. I mean, it just can't be a regular conversation like all the rest of us have about much of nothing. It has to be, the conversation always has to be focused on their health. What a pain. What a colossal pain that would be. And I guess I would encourage you, if you're not in ill health, to be mindful of those who are, by being the guy or the gal who's willing to talk to them about something other than their health. And maybe consider the fact that you're not showing that you don't care. In fact, maybe you're showing them very subtly that you do care. You care more. You care enough to try to serve as some distraction for them to have a conversation about something else, something other than their malady or their issue. And if you have good health, be thankful for it. Man, do not take it for granted. You know, there's 2 weeks, pushing three, that I can't get back. And as bad as that sounds, and as big an ordeal as it was, come on, it's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks. There are people that take more vacation than that in a year. So not the end of the world. I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to, you know, just lean in harder because I lost some time and try to make up time. I'm going to try to be more efficient and more effective with the time. I'm still going to try to move forward, and I'm still going to try to implement some levels of stillness and silence. And I may alter my 7 steps now, but I think I'm onto something. And I think one of the things that really helped is this reliance on internet connectivity. Boy, if after this long, if I'm not completely broken from any habits that I had, well, I am. Let's just put it that way. I am. So any Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and Pinterest, any of those habits that you have, and you just find yourself just constantly just glued to that stuff. An episode like I just went through will show you who cares. Because the truth of the matter is, in the last 2.5 weeks, I haven't missed anything. And you just realize that when you go through something like this. You just realize the world goes on and news cycles continue and it just goes on and on and on. And so for me, it's not a matter of, okay, what's going to be my consumption level? It's going to be, what's my contribution level? How hard am I going to work to try to contribute and try to do something? And whether that something involves making money or it involves something different, whatever it is, and all the facets of that. I mean, we've all got to make a living, but there's other stuff that we do, whether we serve our spouses, whether we serve our family, whether we, you know, we serve ourselves, our hobbies, whatever else we do in life. So that's my story. I hope your health is better than mine at the moment. The good news is I'm on the mend. I got out today for the first time. I went to the gym. I think they probably thought, what happened to him, man? Where'd he go? The good news is I'm still the mayor. It's the only place I check in on Foursquare. And I was just going to get on the treadmill for 15 minutes or so. And I did it while Rhonda ran some errands. I said, well, just drop me off at the gym and I'll just take it easy. And I'm going to get on a treadmill. I'm not going to do anything stupid. Anyway, I walked nearly 4 miles on the treadmill and was just, nose started running. I was completely exhausted by the time I got out, but it was at least good to get out and about. The appetite's kind of coming back. I'm a little bit worried about it coming back too strong, so gonna have to kind of watch that. You know, what little weight I've lost, I needed to, and I'm gonna try to keep a little bit of that off, and maybe take off a little bit more. Do it in a healthier way. Back to drinking more liquids, so. I realized that I needed to do that, so I kind of forced myself to do that. I've, up until a couple of days ago, really kind of forced myself to eat. Because you got to take some of this medication. You got to take some of this stuff. You can't take it on an empty stomach. So that kind of forced me to eat an omelet here and an omelet there and some Greek yogurt here and Greek yogurt there. And, I mean, boy, just nothing sounded good at all. Crackers here and there. Piece of bread now and then. I mean, I was living on hundreds of calories a day for quite a few days. So I would not recommend that, by the way. And I didn't do it by choice. I, in fact, the few hundred calories I was eating a day, I was forcing myself to do that. So, but I hope it's good with you. Hope to be back in the saddle. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the website. All kinds of ways that you can connect with me if you choose to. There are links over at the website for Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Twitter and YouTube. And I don't claim that I'm going to be real present, by the way, on many of those sites. It's kind of nice, you know. I mean, it really is. If you've never taken a sabbatical or a hiatus away from that stuff... Man, do it. Just do it. You really should. It's unbelievable how addictive some of that stuff gets. You know, you don't even realize it. And you really don't even know why. You know, I mean, I would catch myself, and it's funny. I observe other people, including my wife. You know, it's you just observe these little snippets of news and stuff, and you're like, you know, okay, I don't know. I don't even know who they are. And I certainly don't care. Okay, well, that sounds insensitive, but you know what I mean. I mean, we just get so wrapped up in all the stuff, don't we? It's kind of nuts. So That was a good thing. That was a positive thing that's come out of this, and I'm going to try to build on it. I certainly don't want to go back into being, you know, I don't know, logging into Facebook all the time and checking stuff. There are other lessons. I made a few notes, verbal audio notes. That was a good thing. I did get my iPhone out a couple of days ago and drop some voice memos to myself to remind myself of some future shows. So I got some fodder. Got some fodder for future shows, so that's a good thing. Please subscribe to the website, podcast, I should say, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Find us in iTunes. There are links over the website. You can subscribe to iTunes. You can do it through Stitcher or your favorite RSS reader of any sort. You can support the podcast by making purchases through the Amazon affiliate link over in the right-hand column of the website. That'd help. You know, every little bit helps. I'm not selling anything here. We're just kind of riffing on. So longer than normal. I apologize. No, I'm not under the influence, but probably should be. Kind of hurting, so kind of chill out, and turn it down, turn it off, and bid you farewell. My name is Randy Cantrell. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is a website. This is the Yellow Studio.